buying a brand new car, you know, like new car smell and stuff, driving it off the lot, not the greatest financial decision given the massive depreciation that occurs when you drive it off the lot. But at least you have a pretty good idea what you're getting. Less so if you go with a used car. What should you be looking out for if that's the path you're going to go down? Mike Gregg writes Ninja Budgeter, a personal finance blog for families, and he's going to tell us about a recent post he wrote called 13 Simple Ways to Tell If a Used Car is a Terrible Idea. He joins us from Victoria, British Columbia. Hello there.
Hi, how you doing, Bruce?
I am well. Now, I have long talked about my belief in buying used over new, even though I have bought new in the past. From your perspective, what are some of the big picture benefits of even considering going used instead of buying new?
Well, I would make the argument that 90% of people are better served by a used car. I think that the industry has really scared people into feeling like there's this big risk with buying a used or a pre-owned vehicle. And I just don't buy that. I mean, cars are designed and built to last 10 plus years. And by buying a car that's 2 to 4 years old, you can avoid paying 30, 40% of the depreciation and still get a vehicle that's relatively new and in many cases still under warranty.
You have these 13 ways that that I highlighted or that I referenced, some of which are totally obvious to me, some of which I never would have thought of. So poor reviews is one. OK, so I can Google that and see what it says about a, you know, 2016 RAV4 or CRV or whatever. But the second one you mentioned is no maintenance history. What should a buyer expect to receive from a seller in terms of maintenance history?
I would expect documentation to indicate that all relevant required maintenance has been done, including oil changes. A lot of people do change their own oil, and it really takes very little to go into the back of your manual and just make a note of the mileage and date when you did that. And I do expect to see that when I'm considering a used vehicle. Also, as per the factory service manual, ensure that all the work has been done at certain intervals. Coolant is meant to be checked and then changed, and there's belts and hoses and other things that modern vehicles require. And if somebody is trying to sell you a car and can't verify that that work's been done, you don't know that it indeed has been. So it's important to me that I see some proof that that work's actually been completed.
Seller is cagey about why they're selling. Surely they could do a basic acting course and say, because I was looking for a different vehicle. What could be going on behind the scenes that would have a seller be cagey about it?
A lot of people will sell a vehicle that is coming up on major maintenance, or their mechanic has told them has a transmission issue. For example, I have a Grand Caravan now that is soon going to require a transmission, according to my transmission guy. And I wouldn't need to share that with somebody when selling the vehicle, but to be upfront, I would want to be straightforward with them about that's why I'm selling, right? And I don't, and certainly nobody has to tell you why they're making their life decisions, but it's a pretty simple and easy question. And I think that if someone's unwilling to share with you why they're getting rid of a car, it may not be a deal breaker, but it's enough reason to dig a little further and consider why are they not willing to tell me what's going on here. I'd rather deal with somebody who's going to be straightforward with me.
Mismatched or unevenly worn tires. What's the red flag there, that it was driven in a demolition derby on 2 instead of 4 wheels?
Well, often a tire will pop, and the best idea is always to change it with the same tire. But other things can indicate further issues down. If your tires are worn on the inside, or if two of the tires are wearing different than the other two, it can indicate problems with the suspension or with the braking system or with the alignment. Generally speaking, tires should all four of them wear at the same rate, especially if they're rotated consistently as they're meant to be. And if you have one tire that's far more worn on the outside than the inside, it could indicate an alignment or suspension issue that could be more expensive down the road.
These next ones make you sound really cynical. The engine is too clean, or the car is warmed up when you arrived. Surely they're just being gracious and want to show their car at its best.
It's possible. And I like to be extra prudent. If the car's running, I want to know why. A lot of issues present themselves when a car is cold, but not necessarily when it's warm. If the battery is a little low, you'd be able to hear the slow cranking. Sometimes if there's issues in the valves, you'll hear some slapping or ping noises when the car is cold, but not necessarily when it's warm. I want to see the car under any and all conditions. I want to start it cold. I want to let it warm up, and I want to drive it, and I want to see it through the whole range of conditions.
Seller is reluctant to let you test drive is one of them. I can't imagine buying a used car without test driving it first. Would people do that?
Yeah, it often happens in the lower price range where somebody is selling a car for maybe below market value and they've already transferred their insurance onto their new vehicle and they don't want to pay for a car for insurance on a vehicle that's sitting there just for people to come periodically and test drive. I've shopped for vehicles before where somebody has said, you know, well, you can just drive it to the end of the road or whatever. But if I can't drive it on the road, if I can't get it up to highway speed, I'm not buying.
What are some red flags that might indicate that the car is stolen or was stolen?
I check the VIN number. There's a VIN number on every vehicle under the hood and usually just below the inside of the windshield. Check to make sure that hasn't been tampered with. Check to make sure all of the keys match. Those are the two things that I check for theft.
Pushy salespeople is another one. I thought that went with the territory.
Yeah, it does. I've shopped at dealerships before. I don't tend to do that anymore just because I don't like the pressure that comes along with sales. If you're in need of a product and they're selling a good product, you don't need to be forceful about it. It's possible to sell a car based on its merits and your needs and just to align a person's wants with what you have to offer. And I don't deal with pushy salesmen at all. If you're going to try and force a sale on me, I'm gone.
This last one that I'm going to talk about applies to used cars. It also applies to online dating. Be careful of a terribly written ad or bad photos. This is a twofer on your expertise.
It does. Yeah. Here's the way I look at it. When I'm looking at a vehicle, I'm looking at the whole picture. I'm looking at this seller in terms of how they care for things, the care that they take when they're writing their ad, the care that they take when they're taking photos. It's the same with when you get inside a car. If the interior of a car is ripped and bent and beaten and things are broken and cracked and in disrepair, to me, that's indicative of how they treat their things in general. So I would expect that the engine and the other components are kept the same way. And in this, along the same vein, how they write their ad, how they choose to present themselves, to me, that speaks something to how they keep their things.
Really, really, really practical tips, Mike. I'm afraid we need to leave it there, but I appreciate you making the time for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Bruce.
Mike Gregg writes the Ninja Budgeter, a personal finance blog for families. And we were talking about his 13 simple ways to tell if a used car is a terrible idea.